No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
With the state of today's economy, it's more important than ever to invest in products that last for years to come. As the seasons shift and get cooler, make sure your closet is stocked with durable layers that stand the test of time from American Giant. American Giant's clothes work harder and are wearable season after season. Their greatest hoodie ever made is made from the highest quality materials that are cut and sewn right here in the United States. So you're investing right back in your local community. Choosing American Giant means taking a stand for American manufacturing and hardworking Americans, something other mega corporations don't care about. From fleece to knit, all in a range of colors for versatile daily wear, American Giant delivers everyday pieces designed for everyday life. Feel the difference of quality, made-to-last clothes from American Giant. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
Hello and welcome to this edition of the Bullpen. As always, I'm James Roy, and with me is Tom Chavarria. Tom, how are you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good. It's midweek. Everybody's talking Texans, Chiefs. I think it's the premier game of the weekend. And, you know, I can't remember the last time the Texans were thought of this way and talked about so heavily like this right now. It's pretty cool.
I'm glad the Texans have picked it up. I'm glad that we're talking Texans being the center of attention, pushing for the playoffs, because in my personal fantasy football, I think I've talked about being in like seven leagues. I'm now in six because my guillotine league, I got eliminated. And then I've also since been eliminated from playoff contention in every single one of my leagues except for one, at least of my paid leagues. In my non-paid league, I am the number one team, which is how it would go, as you would expect. But, you know, so exciting that the Texans are giving me something to look forward to each week. But we're obviously looking ahead to the Chiefs-Texans game, and we're looking back at the Colts-Texans game. So let's take a look back at first. 20-16, I was literally 1 point off from predicting the score. I was pretty spot on, but I know that if the Colts got that extra point, that the score wouldn't have been that way. The game probably would have gotten to overtime. But yeah, super hype that the Texans managed to get this win. How do you think this affects your view of the team moving forward, and what are your takeaways from that game?
I mean, it really makes you think about the Texans in a different light. At least for the casual fan, obviously the guys that, you know, been riding and dying with this team since day one. I feel like they always felt like this could be the ceiling for the Texans, that they could be one of the elite teams in, you know, the league or the AFC. And I think a win against the Colts, who, you know, a lot of people have very high, they're very highly thought of, with the way that they run the ball and the way that they defend, it's awesome. I mean, this is what you wanted going into the season, and after an 0-3 start, you thought, I probably can't get there. Now, I mean, everything is on the table. The division is on the table, and that's really what that game did. I'm so impressed with the way DeMeco Ryans was able to keep this all together. A lot of people want to you know, nitpick at this team and they should be better and they should do this and should do that. But things happen in season. I mean, look no further than the team they're playing this week. I don't think anybody had the Chiefs where the Chiefs are, and you know, their backs are up against it, but there's nobody that's counting them out because they've earned that. So, that's kind of the way the Texans have approached the season. I feel like they just kept chopping wood, and now they're in a place where, you know, everything they want is in front of them, and I'm pretty excited for it.
I'm excited too. And before I give my answer, Nas in the chat, shout out to you. Thanks for commenting. I am looking into doing, more giveaways here soon. I've definitely got more tickets. So, be on the lookout for those. I think those will become hot commodities with the Texans actually picking it up towards the end of the season. But I think that the big takeaway for me from this game is that looking forward, I see, you know, this stretch of football to me was always going to be more difficult. But with the win against the Colts, now you have two of the remaining games. To recap for those who haven't heard me talk about it, at around the time that the Texans lost to the Broncos, I said there was four games that they had to split, and the rest were pretty much, I don't want to say guaranteed wins, but they were games the Texans should win to go 7-2 in order to get to 10 wins and make the playoffs. And so obviously with the two wins over the Bills and the Colts, the Texans have already gotten those two wins they need, which means they're playing with house money, which is not a concept that Tom likes for me to talk about. But I don't think that's necessarily all the way the case, but based off of what I've spoken on, they do have two games to give with the Chiefs and the Colts on the schedule, and with the other three teams on the schedule being two teams that have been eliminated from the playoffs in the Raiders and the Cardinals, and then the Chargers, who I view them pretty similarly to the Bills. It's a team that this Texans defense can absolutely knock the offense in the mouth. Their defense doesn't make me think, it doesn't really scare me enough relative to the Texans offense, as bad as the Texans offense has been. And you know, they've improved a lot. So even more so, the Chargers to me are, I might live to eat these words. I don't like saying it out loud. I don't like talking about an opponent like this, but I mean, the Chargers do not really scare me as an opponent on the Texans schedule. So when you look at the Chiefs where they are, the fact that the Chiefs scare me more, the fact that the Chiefs scare the national media more, I mean, the way that this game is being looked at, I think that this Texans team, if they win against the Chiefs, could legitimately sweep the rest of the season. I've said their best case is 5-0, worst case is 3-2. And I think that the win over the Colts confirms to me like that they're ready to play higher profile opponents. The offense has progressed to a point where we can expect them to provide what the defense needs. Are they all the way there? I wouldn't say so, but the offense looks a lot better, and it makes me feel a lot better moving forward. I do think that one of the big implications that comes from this is looking at the division. You said the division's on the table. I think that a big question that I have, I'm going to ask you, and I'll give my take on it after, is the Colts and the Jaguars play this weekend. They play twice over the next set of games. What is the most ideal outcome of that series for the Texans? Is it a split? Is it all the way one way, all the way the other? How do you think that series affects the Texans, and what's the ideal outcome?
I think it really depends on how you feel about the Texans the last game of the season at home against the Colts. If you feel like they should be able to get a win there, then you should be rooting hard and heavy for the Colts to beat the Jags, because you would have the tiebreaker over the Colts, in my opinion. Obviously, I think the best case scenario is they just beat each other up. They take turns taking L's. The Colts get one, then the Jags get one, and you know, the Texans just keep winning, and they blow right by both of them. But if it's going to come down to the wire, I think any scenario where it's either you or the Colts and you have a game in hand against them, where you split against Jacksonville, and then I don't know what the different tiebreaker things are. I know the division record matters, and the Texans have a really good division record. So maybe, you know, the beating each other up kind of works too. To me, I just hope it doesn't come to that. I hope that, you know, however it works out, they're able to be a game out in front of whoever is left standing.
Yeah, and the big thing is that, so both the Jaguars and the Colts, I think the Jaguars currently hold the division, but the Texans are one game down from both teams. So realistically, even if they split, or no matter how that series resolves, the Texans can take over second place in the division and do, I mean, if you look at the teams that are in the wild card ahead of them right now, you know, the Bills, the Chargers, those are teams that are either on their schedule or the teams that they've already beaten. So they do have a strong advantage when it comes to snagging a wild card spot. Either way, the Texans playoff odds with a win this Sunday rise to like 90% per PFF. It's like some crazy number, which is really high considering that for most of the season, the Texans have been sitting at like a 36 at most, like in terms of playoff odds. But for me, my initial instinct is to say Colts sweep, because if the Colts sweep the Jaguars, the Texans can win out and take the division because all they have to do is beat the Colts again. But even with a split, both teams would suffer a loss. I think I think the worst case scenario is very obviously the Jaguars sweeping, because the Jaguars schedule outside of the Colts has not a lot of give to it. There are other, they do face the Broncos. That is a tough matchup. But overall, the Colts definitely have the tougher schedule outside of, the division. And so I think that 100% the sweep is probably best. And I, obviously the split works both ways. Either way, the Texans have to go at least 4-1, I think, in my opinion, to assure, to 100% ensure a playoff spot. I think that they can lose two and still be in the running. But I think if they want to control their own destiny, they really only have one loss to give. And I think this is a team that has shown that they can do that. Now, this comment here from Brandon Halam, you know, I like to shout him out every time he comments. OG Texans live stream commenter, always with a good comment. I'll actually leave that one up. Losing Settle and Lassiter is huge. So earlier this week, the Texans injury report came out. Everyone was like, it's just rest days. Who cares? So what? A bunch of people didn't practice. Today, they announced that Tim Settle is going on IR, and that Lassiter is his status for this weekend's game is in limbo. I think that Settle is a huge loss. I think that him being out affects the rotation, and the Texans have always, since D'Amico's been in charge, kind of had a interior defensive line by committee. But I do think that what Tommy Togiai has done, what that group has in Sheldon Rankins and Mario Edwards and D'Nico Autry, still gives you a lot of depth there. So while that loss hurts, I don't think it hits quite as hard as if Lassiter was to be out. I think the step down from Lassiter to Tremont Smith is a lot bigger. Even then, Tremont Smith has shown the ability to step up and play, but I think it is the more concerning thing. And I think that there's a lot more hope because Lassiter could play. But how do you feel going into this matchup with losing Settle and potentially not having Lassiter?
I'm in lockstep with you. I saw a lot of people, you know, really talking up the loss of Tim Settle, and I'm more concerned with Kamari Lassiter. Like, you spoke to all the depth on the interior. Don't get me wrong, Tim Settle has been very good for this team, and he's played very well all season long. But the key cog for me in all of that is Kamari Lassiter. To be able to have him, you know, would be huge. And I think if he's unable to play, that's a huge loss, because as we saw in the last game, people are starting to understand that you're better off not testing Derek Stingley Jr. He was targeted one time in the Colts game, and it was like the last play of the game. So if you still have that in the game coming up, whoever is on the other side is going to be challenge heavy, and Kamari has done just a phenomenal job. He's been beat a few times, but for the most part, he's the leading tackler on the team. So forget the coverage aspect, just tackles in general. That's a huge loss there as well. And for me, that's a guy you really want to see suit up on Sunday.
Yeah, and the other part of it is that, like you said, they're going to pick on whoever's not Derek Stingley, because Derek Stingley is Derek Stingley. But the other part of that puzzle is that the Chiefs have not been able to very effectively run the ball. So they become very one-dimensional, and they kind of rely on Pat Mahomes to be Pat Mahomes on offense. And you really want Lassiter on the field, because that, you know, creates your, like, iron dome sort of defense against anything that the Chiefs could do. It basically, I don't want to say ensures 100% lockdown of the Chiefs offense, because obviously D'Amico does run a bend don't break offense, but or a bend don't break defense, but Lassiter's presence would certainly be missed. Let's see, we've got comments from Brandon. We'll bring those up. There's two spots for Andy Reid, the Chiefs wide receivers to target, safety two and wide receiver two. That's the other thing too, is that Jalen Reid hasn't officially been designated as out for this game. The injury, as far as I know with him, is that there's a metal plate in his arm that broke. They have no timetable for his return, which means I don't think he's going to play. Kay Adams has been doing all kinds of recruiting for the Texans. She's asked Tyrann Mathieu if he'd play for the Texans, trying to bring him out of retirement. Justin Simmons, but the Texans continue to bring in. They've brought in a buttload of DBs, all mostly cornerbacks, since they've opened up a bunch of roster spots. And I'm not seeing the logic of why we haven't gone after maybe a bigger name in the safety market. But yeah, wide receiver two and safety two are probably going to be where they are. I guess CB2 are probably going to be what they want to pick on. I guess a big question, Tom, is how do you think this affects Jalen Petrie in terms of the safety depth? Miles Bryant, I think, has been asked to step up and play safety, and even nickel in this equation. How do you think this affects the way the Texans will manage the depth chart with if Lassiter doesn't play?
I don't think they try to change too much. I think, the names that we talked about, Tremont Smith, I know they recently signed a guy off waivers. I think all of those guys are going to be probably plug and play. I don't think they want to take Jalen Petrie away from what Jalen Petrie does, because that star safety role has really, been where he's excelled. So I don't think you want to do subtraction by addition or addition by subtraction. I think you probably leave that alone and just kind of roll with what you got. Kay Adams is she's going to get a day in Houston, between all that she's doing for the Texans, and then her and Durant have this thing where they talk a lot. So, she's constantly in on the Rocket stuff. I mean, you might as well just bring her to H-Town.
If the Texans sign a safety and it becomes the difference between them winning a Super Bowl and not making the playoffs, or however you want to see it, if you can make that tie, I'd be down to sign a petition to build a statue for Kay Adams in front of NRG Stadium, right next to Toro, right in front of the NRG. I'd love to see it as I walk in, just right there. Thank you, Kay, for the Super Bowl. But she's been pushing hard. She's been gunning. I quoted that tweet. She liked the tweet that I tweeted about it, because I think she agrees. She's trying to put safeties where they go, playing matchmaker in general. I think she does that a lot. But you know how it is when you put a pretty woman in front of an athlete, he'll say anything if he thinks it's right. Because Jaylen Brown got caught up with that. Was it Malika Andrews, or was it who was he sitting in front of? He's like, I'm gonna win three championships by the time I'm 25.
Maybe it was Taylor Rooks.
I was like, I couldn't blame him. I couldn't blame him for over promising. But yeah, so maybe some of that from Simmons or from Tyrann Mathieu maybe attributed to that. But I mean, both of them seemed like they have reason to want to come back. I mean, this Texans defense is really good. They both specifically cited what D'Amico Ryans is doing with this Texans defense. But I do think it would be a worthwhile thing to at least inquire about those. And Justin Simmons, this is not his first time in the Texans Twitter please sign this guy mill of information. So I'd be shocked if the Texans didn't make a move towards that. But I guess internally they have Jalen Mills. Jalen Mills has played a few games for this team. He's been serviceable. The problem is that he's practice squad right now. They've already filled, I believe they filled all of the new openings on the 53-man, and they've used all of his elevations. In order to elevate him, they need to sign him to the roster. So that is another potential piece of the puzzle. But I think, and I'll bring this comment back up, Brandon brings up a good point. We could see Jalen Reid in a club or something. I don't know if maybe they like Jalen Reid so much that they'd rather have him in a club than someone with two arms that aren't both able to function. And it'd be a real shame if they went with him in some sort of club and he could have gotten a pick, but he just has one arm. so he can't make the pick and it becomes the difference. But
I also think it's like his forearm. I think it's like higher up. It's not like a wrist thing. So I don't necessarily know that that's an option. The Simmons thing is interesting. I really just think it's about money with him. I think, you know, whatever it's going to cost to bring him in, it seems like it'd be dumb not to at this point, right? Like, even if it was just because, hey, we need a body. Like, why wouldn't you do that?
Yeah, I mean, I would say, like, early on, like, if you asked me back when the Texans lost to the Broncos, you're like, hey, we have a safety problem. Drop a couple mil or a few mil on a safety, and who cares about the cap? I'd be like, well, I would care about the cap. This Texans team needs to show that it's going to contend before it makes a cap move like that. But now you've got two really good, Justin Simmons and Tyrann Mathieu are both guys that I wouldn't mind having in the secondary. Even if Jalen Reed came back healthy, I think they'd be good mentors, good guys that like what Jimmy Ward is supposed to be being, which, you know, obviously not Jimmy Ward, who knows if he's coming back. I think Texans cap treated with him and Kurt Heinisch, that if they don't play the rest of the season, their contracts just bump forward and we just get an additional year of them because they just, I don't know how any of that works. I didn't really read too much into it. Or maybe the contract is null. I don't know. But we're already talking about it as if they're not going to play this year. But we've reached a point now where the Texans are sitting at 7-5. I think looking at the AFC playoff picture, I could see them in the AFC championship game against either the Broncos or the Patriots. And I don't see a universe where that game is so far out of reach. Like, I think in the past, it's felt like we've talked about the Texans making it and facing these giants like the Chiefs, the Ravens, and the Bills. None of those teams are really gigantic status. In fact, some of them might miss the playoffs. I think for sure at least one of them will. So this Texans team not only is looking at its best opportunity to make the playoffs right now, but it's looking at its best opportunity to make the playoffs and be a threat as the offense has progressed and as the defense is the best defense in the league. There's no question about it. I don't have any reservations. I don't have any doubt in my mind. This Texans defense is the best defense. If you think that losing a starting safety knocks it off of that pedestal and you can replace that, I don't care about what the cap number is that you have to pay to do it. The cap doesn't exist, Nick. Make it work. Like, sign a safety. Make it happen. So that's kind of where I'm at. Or sneak Justin Reed back in. Hey, who knows? Who knows? But let's talk about something else real quick. This is a thought that I had a minute ago. I feel like this may or may not be a good time to bring it up. I don't want to entirely derail the chat. But today the Texans announced their Walter Payton Man of the Year team award winner, not the overall league winner, but the guy who will represent the Texans in that. And it is Azeez Al-Shaair. As you can imagine, that sent shockwaves throughout at least the Jaguars fan base. That's most of the people I saw complaining about it. Because of who Azeez Al-Shaair is and what the Walter Payton Man of the Year award is to some people. What do you make of him being selected? What do you think it speaks to with him, and how he's perceived throughout the league?
It's nothing about how he's perceived throughout the league. This is 100% about how he's perceived on this team. You know, I think that because I believe that's how that works, right? Like he's a representative for the Texans, not like he was chosen by the league.
It's my understanding that the Texans choose him, I think.
Yeah.
I don't know if the league can do anything about that.
So them choosing him,
the selection process works.
So them choosing him just shows how much they feel like he is a leader on their team and just an outstanding individual. And maybe kind of like saying, like, look, I know you guys think he's a dirty guy, but we don't feel that way. And this is our guy. And we think he is what, you know, we want our guys to model after.
No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Huge news, Wayfair shoppers! There's still time to shop Wayfair's Cyber Week sale. Thought the savings were over? Think again. Cyber Week, aka the holiday home stretch, is on now. Right now, get up to 70% off everything home and everything you need for the season ahead. Save on quality furniture for every room in the house. Essentials for the guest room, whether it's new bedding or a new mattress. Kitchen and dining must-haves for all your hosting needs. And seasonal home finds like throw pillows and decor. Or favorites that you'll use all year long. Plus, you can sit back and relax. With Wayfair's fast and easy shipping, everything home comes straight to your home. Just in time for the holidays. Yep, even the big stuff. Didn't get everything on your Black Friday list? We got you. There's no place like home for the holidays and no place like Wayfair for Cyber Week savings. Shop Wayfair's Cyber Week right now through December 7th and save up to 70% off at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Well, and what's funny to me is that like the way Aziz Alshire plays football would be considered soft like 15 years ago. It would be like very lightweight stuff. Like, I don't know if you, like, I know you did. I know I did watch Ray Lewis play football. I don't mean to point out how much older you are than me, but you probably watched a lot more hard-nosed football than I've watched in my lifetime live. I think what Aziz Alshire has done, he's kind of a scapegoat for what's becoming a softer league, which I feel like every 5 to 10 years you could say the league has become soft and this player is the poster child for why that is. But I agree with you. If the Texans are the ones that picked him, it more speaks to them. I think that there's been plenty of social media backup from people who know him backing up that his claim to being a contender for the award. Do I think the NFL is going to select him as the Walter Payton Man of the Year? No, I have no doubt in my mind that he's not going to win the award because I think that process would take more unanimous support from the rest of the league, and I don't think he has that. But I mean, I trust that he's a great guy. He seems like a great guy. Stressen's met him. I think if there's anything that, and so did Tom, if there's anything that speaks to who Aziz Alshire is, when he was suspended last season, the Texans fans put together a watch party, which you went to. Stressen's was part of the people that hosted it. And he literally showed up and watched. He didn't like roll up and say hi as a PR stunt. Like, he watched the game with everyone and hung out and did an extended meet and greet and then left. And I don't think that someone who's a complete jerk and absolute, I don't know, someone who is what a lot of people paint Aziz Alshire to be doesn't do that. So, and I don't know, Tom, can you speak to what that was? I don't know how much you got to talk to him or whatever, but.
So, I mean, I talked to him very little, but I mean, he was just a real chill, down-to-earth dude. It wasn't like he showed up with like an entourage or guards or anything like that. It was just him. And you know, we were at Tejas Brewery and he just pulled up and, you know, kind of hung out with some of the guys, you know, watched the game with some of the guys, was cheering for his guys right there. Like, I mean, just another dude, which you see these guys on TV, you see these guys and you just think they're so much separate from like the average person. Not Aziz, rolled up like nothing, you know, Stress has made me shirt, you know, one of his shirts. I thought it was really cool. And I've yet to see any other Texan player do anything similar just on a whim. You know, I think they found him on social media and he just pulled up. I think it's crazy.
I did on the post and showed up. I don't know. I thought it was pretty cool of him to do that. Ironically enough, I'm pretty sure that the game he was suspended last year was the Chiefs game.
It was.
Yeah, I'm glad that he's not suspended this year for this one. And I think he actually is the only player that practiced in full on the injury report after showing up and not practicing yesterday. So good on him. But yeah, I thought that was interesting that he was the one selected for that. I don't know if that was just like the Texans, you know, an FU from the Texans to the league trying, or like, I mean, it could have been, it could be a combo. It could be a lot of things that affected that, but interesting to see that. Looking ahead to this game in KC, I want to talk through maybe a few things that could affect the way the Texans play. One of the big topics of discussion this week has been weather. If you know me, I mean, Tom, you know me. I've spoken to the, I've gone as far as to say the Texans need to be the number one seed in the AFC the year that they make their run, because they need to play in NRG pretty much the entire playoffs into the Super Bowl to avoid cold weather environments and give themselves the best shot. This is the first real cold weather test of the season. I have to ask, I mean, do you think, how much do you think that affects it? I know it's pretty cold today, so they, you know, maybe got a little glimpse of it, as much of a glimpse as you can get in Houston at a cold weather. But I mean, how much of a factor do you think that is in this matchup?
I mean, it's tough, right? Like, you look at these guys on some of these, on you know, this roster, and you go, hey, this dude's from here, or he played at Ohio State, and, you know, weather shouldn't be an issue. And at the same time, you see him go out there in some of these cold weather environments and start really slow, and can't help but wonder if the weather played a factor. I don't know what the forecast is for Sunday, what potentially it is. I mean, I assume it's going to be pretty cold. I think as long as it's not windy, I mean, as long as you don't have rain or snow or something like that, just you line them up and you go. Once they get going, the temperature probably doesn't bother them as much as the adverse conditions on the football or the adverse conditions on the field.
Yeah, I trust that Will Anderson Jr. is going to walk by the Chiefs locker room, look Pat Mahomes straight in the face and say, lace him up. It's going to be a long 60 minutes. Oh, what's that one viral tweet that always goes around? I don't know who keeps tweeting that. Someone, I think someone did that a couple of seasons ago. But yeah, I think that the cold obviously has an effect. I think the biggest factor to me that affects this game from a cold weather perspective is that, and so far the Texans have improved a lot in this area. They're going to have to be on their best in this game. Red zone scoring has relied a lot on field goals and really scoring in general in these games that has kept it close has been the Texans' ability to convert field goals. Some refer to Kaimi Fairbairn as a dome merchant. Either way, it is irrefutable that his performance in cold weather environments and in the open air has been less than his performances in more controlled environments. And so I don't think if the Texans early on start to rely on Kaimi, start sending him out there a lot, I think that'll be a problem. I think that that's my biggest concern. If the Texans come out and they play like they, once CJ sort of got into it and, you know, they started moving, they had drives where they got into the red zone and they scored touchdowns. I think if they can produce like that, or I think it's the same rule it's been all season. As long as the Texans score more than 20 points, they should win. And I have a comment here on Instagram. Frank P says, we played in Arrowhead in the cold last year. We lost that game. So, I mean, and obviously I agree with you. If Tank didn't get hurt, that probably goes a little different. And it was a one-score game, which is what the Texans have been doing all year long. In any loss, you can't point to a loss where they've lost by more than 4 points. They've been playing really close with really good teams, but the point still stands. If it came down to it, if the Texans are down by 2 points and they're a 50-yard field goal from Kaimi Fairbairn, what's going to decide it? I'm going to have to close my eyes and just read about it later, because I'm not going to be able to watch that happen. It's going to make me really nervous. So I'm hoping that the Texans can get going early, get into the red zone and score touchdowns so that we don't have to worry about whether or not Kaimi Fairbairn can kick in this cold weather, since it's been shown in the past that it's not a sure thing. So that's my biggest concern with the cold weather environment. Are there any particular aspects of this Chiefs team? I mean, this is a team that's sitting at 6-6. They're on the verge. The difference is, for those who don't know, I think it's like 57% chance to make the playoffs if they win today. If they lose, their chances drop to like 12% on the season. So the Texans, with a win this weekend, could essentially put the dagger in the dynasty and bring it to an end as much as you can. I mean, that's a talented team. I would equate the Chiefs to the Astros this year if they were to miss the playoffs, because it's like, it's not a team that's like not going to make the playoffs next year just because they didn't this year. There's still a lot of talent on that roster. But it would be a huge blow to this team if they can do it. But what are some of your big takeaways from this team? This is where you look at Chris Jones on defense, you look at Pat Mahomes on offense, and Travis Kelce, Xavier Worthy, Rashee Rice. There's like all a number of names you can look at, but what are you looking at on both sides of the ball? What are your big takeaways, things to watch from the Chiefs' perspective?
For me, I'm wondering how they stop Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter. Their left tackle is on IR, and I mean, this has been a fast, you know, just steamrolling defense the last, I don't know, month. And I know they only had one sack last week, and people are like, well, what happened? I know that that's a really good Colts team. I think that we saw a Cowboys team that's not nearly as talented as the Texans defensive front get after Mahomes all game long. So I am really looking at that as like a huge, you know, circle this. If they can get home, then I feel like the Texans are going to have a great shot to, you know, keep Mahomes off the field and put together some long sustaining drives. If, you know, they can't get to Patrick Mahomes, well, then he's going to do what he has to do, because they need to win and they know it and their whole stadium knows it. So you're going to absolutely get their best effort, I think. Not that I don't think you always get it, but I feel like now, you know, desperate teams just play just a little bit harder.
Yeah, and so we got some Instagram comments. Frank P., who commented earlier on the weather, is actually going to be at Arrowhead, so make sure
that's awesome.
You show up and cheer loud. Hopefully you get to see a win out there. It'd be really nice to see it. And then after this, I want to talk about Foley Fatukasi, because I'm not really sure on his status. I'm going to look into that. I don't know, Tom, if you've got it. Like, I can't even remember. Is he physically unable to perform, or what's his?
I thought he was, and I thought it was a minimum 4-game, you know, like anything else.
Yeah, I thought so too. So,
but I don't know when he's supposed to come back. They open up like a window, right?
Window or something like
that. Yeah.
I don't know when his window. He add him to the list of like the growing list of Texans players that I have no idea what their status is, and we've gotten really nothing from the organization on them. But for me, like, I agree with you. Looking at this matchup, the big concerns, like, can Will Anderson Jr. get home? And for me, the big difference here is looking at Pat Mahomes versus, say, like Josh Allen. Like, I knew for a fact Josh Allen, Justin Herbert, you name it, those guys will fold under the pressure that this Texans defense can bring. But Patrick Mahomes has consistently shown that he can singularly overcome that at times and move the Chiefs offense. So I'm kind of hopeful that this Texans defense can overwhelm Patrick Mahomes. And that is really the big thing that I'm looking at. You know, obviously, offensively, is Chris Jones still Chris Jones? What can he do? And, you know, George Karlaftis, just really that Chiefs front, can they stop the run and get to CJ Stroud? Is this offensive line, after having two really good games against two contender teams, still as good as we think they are? Can they step up and protect CJ Stroud? And, you know, Dalton Schultz, someone called this out. Texans Jacob had a post on Dalton Schultz's receiving prowess this season. But if you watch, like, he's been pretty exceptional blocking, and I don't think he's going to be left on an island with George Karlaftis like last season. So I think that's already an improvement. But did you get the info on Fatukasi?
Yeah, it's a shoulder injury that he sustained week 4. He was placed on IR October 4th. So I don't know.
So he could return, but he hasn't been designated, so I don't think he will.
Yeah. And that's the last. I haven't seen anything recent.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know. Either way, the D-line help. I mean, we spoke to it earlier. This, oh my gosh, you got someone in the chat. H is up and horns down. I don't know how you do that. You can't do that. It's got horns up, H is up. But they both got to be up. That's how it goes.
It must be a little brother fan. Sorry, little brother.
Must be a fan of Texas.
15 years is a long time to go without a win.
Yeah, it's a very long time. This is like the most important two, three-week stretch, depending on, you know, the year of football for me, because Texas A&M and then Navy and Army are like the two biggest games of the year for me. So I'm excited, looking forward to that. I've got a Navy jersey. My dad's USNA alum, and so I've got the new 250th anniversary jersey on the way to him. I'm excited for him to get that. I sent it by way of Roger Staubach. I'm hoping that he has signed it, so that my dad will get an extra special surprise when that arrives. So looking forward to that. Let's look at this game and let's get our score predictions in. I'm excited to see how you view it, how much the weather affects your prediction, but we'll start with you. What's your prediction?
Let's go 24-21 Texas.
Okay. What, anything to elaborate on that? Just let's see. You said 24-21. You're not given the two field goals you usually do. Are you in the same boat as me?
Oh no, I think he's going to miss one. I think he's going to get two chances. I think he's going to miss one.
Okay. I like that prediction. I think that I'm going to give the same prediction as last week. I think that I have to, because I think that in my mind, the other team has to score less than 20 and the Texans have to score more or at or more. So I'm going to go with 20-17 and take the Texans. If we're going storybook ending, I definitely don't think that it comes down to a Kymie Fairbairn field goal. I'll set the scene with the Texans down 17-13 with 46 seconds left. CJ Stroud has had a day. It's not necessarily been the most impressive, but it's not been unimpressive. He's just been able to move the chains, keep the defense, you know, rested and keep the game close. And now it's time for him to do what he did against Tampa, which is why I picked 46 seconds particularly. And engineer a methodical drive, not only to get down the field and kick a field goal, but instead to get a touchdown. He needs it. That's what the Texans need in order to win. So he similarly just kind of moves it. You see a nice little 20-yard completion at Dalton Schultz. He's keeping it along the sidelines. The Chiefs defense is just gassed. They've finally given up, and CJ is picking them apart, and it comes down to it. About 10 yards out, he hits Dalton Schultz over the top for a touchdown, and the Texans win it. That's what I've got. That's my storybook ending. Now, last week was the closest I think I've ever gotten to getting the score right. I didn't have the exact way that it happened down, but so I'm going to stick with the same score prediction, because maybe this week it'll actually happen that way. And I
hope not.
I hope for our sake it doesn't happen that
That's
way.
A stressful day of football right there.
A stressful day at the office.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's Sunday Night Football. It's prime time. And the Texans, I think last year technically wasn't a primetime game, even though it was a Saturday game. So this will be, I think, the first primetime game against the Chiefs in the regular season, if I'm not mistaken. The Texans have some good ones against the Chiefs. You've got the... back when I'm going to date myself here, but back when the Chiefs had Dwayne Bowe and Matt Cassel, they were up, and then Andre Johnson caught that corner touchdown with the McNairs on the sideline right there when he did it, to take the lead and win that game. That one sticks out in my mind as the one that I turned to, but I'm excited to see it. Do you have any final thoughts before we kind of bring this thing to a close?
I really feel like they can lose this game and still be in a great spot. I'm definitely picking them to win. I'm just saying, you know, for the fans that go from one end to the other, you know, there's going to be people, if they don't win, well, you know, now they're chances of winning, the percentages now say they won't make the playoffs, mock draft season all over again. So I do believe that they've done a really good job to get to this point. From 3-5 to 7-5 is no small thing. To go into Arrowhead, or what is it now? It is Arrowhead, but it's like something else.
GEHA, I don't know.
Yeah.
Arrowhead, I don't.
To go in there and get a win is going to be a huge task. I do believe they have the team to do it. I just know that Kansas City has been this team for, you know, the better part of a decade, and I don't think they're trying to see it stop anytime soon. So in order for them to, you know, have a chip in the chair, as they say, they have to win this game. So I expect them to come out with everything that they have, and if they manage to figure out a way to get it done, I'm not going to feel any less confident about the Texans to, you know, win the division or make the playoffs, because it'll still be in front of them. We talked at length about, you know, they were going to have to do a lot in these games against Buffalo and Indy, and then they win one of both. So, you know, you spoke to house money earlier. I don't want to say that, but I do believe this is a game like it's going to feel amazing if they win it, but I don't think it's the end of the world if they lose it.
Yeah, I think that I mean, the way this changes, you know, it changes the calculus in terms of like who you want to win or lose in, you know, the Indy Jaguars game. It doesn't really matter who loses the first. If the Texans lose on Sunday night, it doesn't really matter who wins or loses the first one. You're kind of rooting for a split at that point because you need both of them to suffer a loss. But I think that we've reached that point. There was obviously points in this win streak where a loss would have been like, okay, well, now we're back to square one. Maybe that we're teetering, but the Texans are on a four-game win streak, and I think this is the first time in that win streak where I can look and I can say, okay, a loss here, it doesn't hurt as bad as it would before. And I think that legitimately the Texans, like, they could go as bad as 3-2 over the next stretch and still have really good playoff odds, in my opinion. But I do think that we've moved past, you know, the sky is falling, Chicken Little, you know.
Mock draft season next week. Mock drafts.
Start over. Mock draft season. So I think we're in a good spot. But, thanks for tuning in to this edition of The Bullpen. I've been James Roy. Find me at James Roy NFL, wherever your social media. Tom is TCTom1 on Instagram and Third Coast Tom on Twitter. And we are The Bullpen, the number one veteran-run Texans podcast in the entire stratosphere. I don't know. There's not a whole lot of podcasts going on in the stratosphere, but we are the number one there. Number one on the moon as well, in case you were wondering. But thanks for tuning in. As always, stay classy, Houston. Vamos, Texans.
Thanks for tuning in to The Bullpen, a Texans podcast. Please like, comment, subscribe, and follow along for more Texans talk from The Bullpen.